John chapter 10. And our text for tonight is at verse 28. For again, the hand of the hands of Christ are referred to. John 10, verse 28. The Lord says, I give unto them, that is his sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once again, the enemies of our dear Savior have crowded around him. And once again, they have come to challenge him and criticize him. We read in verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. This time they want to know whether or not the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the promised Messiah. Tell us if thou art the Christ, or tell us if thou art Messiah. The words, why dost thou make us doubt, may be rendered, why dost thou hold us in suspense? But as far as the dear Savior was concerned, there was no suspense. For the Lord gave them a very plain answer. Verse 25, he said, I told you, and ye believed not. And so the Lord made it clear to them that they were not believers. I told you, and ye believed not. So they weren't believers. And the Lord outlines to them what it is to be a believer. Took the opportunity to tell those Jews that they were not believers, but he also outlined to them what it would be to be a believer. He told them, first of all, about his word. We've just read there. That's what he said. I told you, and ye believed not. I've given you my word, that I am the Christ, the Messiah, but ye believe not. And so no one can claim to be a believer if they do not believe and accept the word of the Lord. After all, Christ is the Word, manifest in flesh. And so the man or the woman who does not love the Word, who does not live by the Word, cannot claim to be a believer. I told you, the Lord said, and you believed not. You didn't believe me. The Lord also spoke here, not only about his word, but also his work. The Savior told his critics, ye believe not my works. Not only you don't believe my word, but you won't believe my works. They deny that his works, the works that the Lord Jesus wrought, were indeed the works of Messiah, because they didn't believe, accept Christ to be the Messiah. But you know, when we think about the works of Christ, there is one work of the Lord Jesus that stands out above every other work. It was, of course, his work on the cross of Calvary. That work of redemption. That work of salvation. And the one who does not believe his work of redemption wrought there on the cross of Calvary cannot claim to be a believer. It's as simple as that. And so the person who does not accept his word does not accept his works and does not accept his way. The Lord here speaks about his way. The Lord tells his critics that if they do not walk in his ways, if they do not follow him, the Lord said, then ye believe not. Verse 26. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice and know me, and they follow me. And so there's the way. And he was telling these Jewish critics, you don't believe my word, you don't believe my work, and you don't believe my way, you don't follow me. And the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So that means you're not of my sheep. You don't belong to me. You're not believers. Then he goes on to speak about his sheep. He says, those who follow me, they're my sheep. And then he speaks about how secure his sheep are. And so here he speaks about eternal security. The Lord speaks here about his sheep. And who are his sheep? Well, those who believe his word, those who believe his works, and those who walk in his way, they're believers. And they're my sheep, the Lord said. They follow me. I'm the shepherd, and my sheep follow me. And the Lord then made it clear that they who do those things, they're my sheep. And he goes on to say, and I give unto them, give unto my sheep, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal security. People, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, they have eternal life. They have eternal security. They are eternally secure. They will never be lost. Eternal security. That's what every believer has. The perseverance of the saints. They are eternally secure. Why? Because the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There is a threefold statement, as it were, declaring that my sheep have eternal life. They are secure for all eternity. Praise the Lord. First of all, I want us to look in this text, this verse 28. I want to look at the gift from the Savior. The gift from the Savior. Here the Savior speaks of a gift that all have received who believe in him. I give unto them, his sheep, eternal life. Regarding this gift, we notice first of all that it is a choice gift. No greater gift was ever given to fallen man than the gift of eternal life. That's a choice gift. There's no gift like it. There is no gift like the gift of eternal life. This is a gift that we didn't bargain for. Neither did we barter over. But it was given by free and sovereign grace to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Given to all who believe on the Lord Jesus and are saved by his grace, by his blood. Remember what the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what you need to do. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that this spiritual life is not something that's temporal. It's eternal. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Man's soul is eternal. Man's soul will never die. And so as man's soul is eternal, that soul that is saved, they are given eternal life. Their soul enjoys eternal life, eternal salvation. No, you can't lose your salvation. Whatever you do, don't believe that lie. And there was no other verse in the Bible. We could rest on verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's all we need to know. We have eternal life. Listen again to what the Lord Jesus said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3 and verse 36. Everlasting. Now, everlasting must mean everlasting. Eternal must mean eternal. And again, the Savior said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. John 5, verse 24. Notice, once a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives him by faith, eternal life is theirs. Hath. That's what the Lord said. Hath. You already have it. It's not something we wait for. We don't wait for eternal life when we get to heaven. No. We have eternal life right now. It's not something we wait for. It's not something that we hope for. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so, believer, eternal life is ours now. We have eternal life. And those who do not believe in eternal security of the soul, they say, everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. Well, if you adopt that idea, you can make every word in the Bible mean whatever you want it to mean. That's what a man told me. He didn't believe in eternal security. When we mentioned verses about everlasting life, everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. Well, if you adopt that idea and that view, then I would have to say to him, well, do you believe heaven is everlasting? Because the Bible talks about the everlasting kingdom. And so if everlasting doesn't mean everlasting in one place, you have to say the same wherever you find the word everlasting. Peter, 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, for so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And hell is everlasting as well. And if the same individual believed in heaven being everlasting and hell being everlasting, well, he had to believe eternal life, the life that Christ gives, is everlasting also. So it's a choice gift, no gift like it. As well as it being a choice gift, it's a costly gift. This gift of eternal life, of course, a gift that we may receive. That gift has already been paid for by the person who gave it to us. They go out and they buy us a gift and they give it to us and they pay it. We don't pay the gift of eternal life. It's already paid for. Back to John 3. Again, the words of the Savior. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Of course, we know how he was lifted up. The serpent was lifted up on a pole. Christ was lifted up, you could say, on a pole, lifted up on the cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And there it is. The dear Savior, who was lifted up on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood that we might be saved. And there, when he was lifted up on the cross, the blood flowed from his back that had been opened. The blood flowed from his lovely brow where the thorny crown was placed. The blood flowed from his hands and from his feet and then from his side. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That word remission is a word that means ascending away. Without the shedding of blood, there is no sending away or taking away of our sin. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. The word taketh there is the word that means bear. Behold the Lamb of God that beareth away. And in bearing away our sin, he sent them away, never to be remembered against us anymore forever. And what though the accuser roar, of evils I have done, I know them all and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none. Findeth none. And the blood that was shed on Calvary purchased for us our salvation. And in so doing, we received the gift of eternal life. Eternal life. It's a choice gift, a costly gift, and a chosen gift. No, this gift of eternal life is not given to everyone. Not given to everyone. What did the Lord say there? I give unto them. Who was he referring to? The sheep, for he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them. I give unto them eternal life. This gift is not given to everyone, but for those for whom Christ died. It's given to those who receive him as Savior. And we then ask the question, for whom did Christ die? Again, the verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. The Savior here speaks about his sheep. And he goes on to say, I give unto them. Doesn't mention anybody else here. I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life. Look at the chapter 10 of John and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. For who? For the sheep. But let he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, saith the wolf, coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15 of John 10. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's clear. We're told who Christ died for. No, he did not die for the whole world. He died, gave his life, and shed his blood for the sheep. He tells us that. I laid down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And now we read in the verse 28, I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life. You remember what the angel told Joseph about the Christ child? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. His people from their sins. His people, his sheep. And again, in his great high priestly prayer, the Savior speaks about those who are given the gift of eternal life. Turn to John 17. John 17. Here's the Lord Jesus in prayer to his heavenly Father. John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that's the Son, that he should give eternal life. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Who receives eternal life? The verse 3 tells us. Verse 2 and 3. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Father has given the Son. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, that they might know thee. See? They that know Christ as Savior have eternal life. No, it's not just churchgoers. You ask people, well, are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? You know the answer you get most times. Well, I hope so. Oh dear. Oh dear, imagine going through life depending on eternity on a hope so. No, eternal life is the portion of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. My Father which gave them me. Verse 29. The Father gave his elect to the Lord Jesus as a reward for what he did on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord speaks of his sheep as those given to him by his Father. My Father which gave them me. And didn't the Lord Jesus say in John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There he's speaking about his chosen people, his elect, and all that the Father gave them, they will come to him sometime, somewhere. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So there's the gift from the Savior. We go on now and consider the guarantee from the Savior. The guarantee. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. There's the guarantee. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's the guarantee. And what is it that guarantees our eternal security? Well, first of all, we have his word. The Lord here gives us his word on it. And since Christ, we've often referred to the Lord Jesus as the perfect gentleman, and since he's the perfect gentleman, we know that his word is true, and we know he'll keep his word. And here the Lord has given us his word on it. He'll not lie. He'll not fool us. He'll not cheat us. When the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, you can take him at his word. When the Lord says, ye shall never perish, you can take him at his word. And when he says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand, you can take him at his word. You can take him at his word. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God that cannot lie. And so when the Lord Jesus, who is God, said, I give unto them eternal life, it's not a lie. When he said, ye shall never perish, that's not a lie. When he said, no man shall pluck them out of my hand, that's not a lie. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John 3 verse 15 again. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Sure, it would be a contradiction if one who has been given the gift of eternal life should perish. It's a contradiction. Eternal life. Eternal life. Those who die in their sin, they have eternal death, eternal punishment, eternal hell. But the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. And if the Lord said, you have eternal life, well, you can take him at his word. Isn't that great? Turn to John chapter 6 verse 40. John 6 verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day in the glorious resurrection. That's verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Notice how the Lord emphasizes it. We have the Lord's verilies. We come across his verilies throughout Scripture. We know what verily means. We know it means truly. And here the Lord says, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. Once a sinner believes by faith and receives Christ the Savior, then he hath everlasting life. And we can take the Lord at his word. Guaranteed, because the Lord has said it. The guarantee is seen in his word. The guarantee is seen in his work. The work of our dear Savior guarantees our soul's eternal security. That work, first of all, is sacrificial work. Having considered the great sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary, think of it. Could it be possible then that he would lose one soul that he paid such a high price for? Never. No greater price was ever paid for a gift. And the gift was eternal life. No greater gift was ever given. And no greater price was ever paid for that gift. The blood that he shed for his sheep guarantees eternal security. Eternal life. Hebrews 9 verse 12. Paul says, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By his blood he has obtained eternal redemption for us. It's a sacrificial work that guarantees us eternal security. His blood. Not only does the sacrificial work guarantee eternal security, but the supplicating work. Would the Lord Jesus, our Savior, lose any one of those for whom he prays, seeing his prayers are always answered? And sure we know that the dear Savior is now at the Father's right hand, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the Savior has told us that he prays for us. John 17. Again, the Savior's high priestly prayer. John 17, verse 9. I pray for them. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who believe. He's praying for his own people. And the Lord says, I pray for them. That's who I pray for. Notice further. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Believer, for many reasons, we are a privileged people. We should always thank the Lord for salvation. For He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He has redeemed us. He has redeemed His elect people. He prays for us. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray for my sheep. And the prayers of Christ guarantee eternal security. The sacrificial work guarantees eternal security. The supplicating work guarantees eternal security. And the Spirit's work, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, guarantees eternal security. Our souls will never be lost. The Holy Spirit, as we know, enters the soul of the Christian when he experiences the new birth. We're familiar with those words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Get a hold of that. The Holy Spirit is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Spirit in you, ye are bought with a price. The price is Christ's blood. And you're bought, therefore, the Spirit is in you. And again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts? And for those who are taking notes, not only 2 Corinthians 1:22, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 5, Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14. And there again you have come across the word the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Now here's something. The word earnest, we read it there in 2 Corinthians 1:22, and has given the earnest of the Spirit in your hearts. It'd be easy to look at that word and just go past it. But we need to stop and find out, what does the word earnest mean? How relevant is that word? Well, the word earnest, remember we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The word earnest means a deposit or a pledge. The word earnest means a deposit or a pledge. We pointed out before, used the illustration. You go into a furniture store, you see a suite of furniture that you like or the table you like, and you don't have the money with you, but you give the shopkeeper a deposit. And he puts on that table or that suite of furniture, sold. It's yours. Nobody else can have it. You put a deposit on it. It's yours. It's as good as being in your home. The Holy Spirit is our deposit or our pledge for heaven. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are as good as being in heaven. That's guaranteed. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. Who hath also sealed us. That word sealed. The word sealed means an emblem of ownership. An emblem of ownership. We belong to the Lord. He paid the price for us. Who hath also sealed us. We're his. The emblem of ownership. Given the earnest, the pledge, the deposit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Isn't that some truth? Isn't that some doctrine? The Holy Spirit is our divine deposit for heaven. We are as sure of glory as if we were already there. And there's nothing anyone could do about it. We have considered the gift from the Savior. We've considered the guarantee from the Savior. That leads us to the greatness of our Savior. Speaking about his sheep, the Savior now tells us, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And there is no better place, no safer place, no more secure place for the soul of the believer to be, for the sheep to be, than in the hand of the shepherd. That's a secure place. The Lord says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's the greatness of Christ, our Savior, emphasized again. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We have here, first of all, his powerful hand. His powerful hand. But notice carefully. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The word man's in italics. It's not in the original. Now you may read it. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. No temptation, no trial, no tyrant from hell, no one, no demon, no army of demons will pluck us out of our Savior's hand. Because that's the hand of strength. That's the hand of power. That's the hand of omnipotence. That guarantees that we shall never perish. That guarantees we shall never perish because of the greatness of our Savior and the greatness of that hand. It's the hand of omnipotence. Again, John 17 and verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And you may say, well, what about the rest of the verse? And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The son of perdition. Who is that? Judas Iscariot. And what can we say about Judas? He never was a believer. He never was born again. He never was regenerated. whether the Lord said Judas would be better for that man if he had never been born. And the shepherd, the natural shepherd, may lose some of his sheep. But our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd, has never lost one of his sheep, and he never will. Not one. Abide in the Lord, secure in his control. 'Tis life everlasting begun to pluck from his hand the weakest trembling soul. It never, ever can be done. God be for us. Who can be against us? As well as his powerful hands, we see his protective hands. Since the Lord's hands are powerful, then they are protective. Whatever may take place in your life or mine, or any of God's saints, he will protect the soul of every one of them. The Apostle Paul made that clear in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Suffer. And we all know something of the sufferings of the apostle. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep. He is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded that he is able to keep. None, the Lord says, will pluck us out of his hand. The word pluck there means forceful seizure. Forceful seizure. Gives us the idea of, say, a thief forcing his way into somebody's house to seize valuables in the house. And that's the business of the devil. He'll attempt a forceful seizure, but he'll never succeed. To pluck from his hand the weakest trembling soul, it never, ever can be done. Because we're in the hand of omnipotence. It doesn't matter what the devil does, Satan does, or an army of demons. They can attempt forceful seizure, but they'll fail. Because the Lord says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Powerful hand, protective hand. Let's remember, it's a pierced hand. It's pierced in two ways. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And our names are graven on the palm and the hands of Christ. And our names will never be erased from the hands of Christ. Just as it is impossible for any power on earth or in hell to pluck us out of the hand of the Lord Jesus, Also, we think of the words in that Messianic Psalm, Psalm 22. And the Lord Jesus said, they pierced my hands and my feet. We can say, why, Lord? And the Lord would say, I did it all for you. Because the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And if ever the devil comes, when you've failed him, and you've let the Lord down, and he comes and tells us, you'll never be in heaven. You know what we need to do? Is to look at those hands that hold us and see the nail prints of those hands, and that will give us assurance once again we will be in heaven no matter what we've done, because the Lord died for me and shed his blood for me. Remember what the Lord said. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See? That's the guarantee. And what a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior, and what he did for us. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of the hand of omnipotence. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and eternal God, we thank thee for the truth, the doctrine of eternal security, eternal redemption, eternal salvation. So thank you, Lord, we'll never lose our salvation. We'll never lose our security in Christ. Our names are written down in glory, and they'll never be erased. Our souls are in the hand of our Savior, and they'll never be taken out. For the Lord has said, where I am, there ye may be also. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts tonight. Lord, may we rejoice in this great doctrine. Rejoice in eternal security. Lord, bless us. May we think upon the word as we go home tonight, grant us traveling mercy. Again, Lord, keep us safe and well and healthy. Keep the plague from our dwellings. Remember those that mourn. And again, Lord, we remember our doctors and nurses and those in the front line. Bless them and protect them. And Lord, come by thy power and remove this virus. Thou art able to do it. After, Lord, thou hast fulfilled thy will and purpose. Keep us, Lord, safe and well throughout this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.